Hi, I'm Emily Rawlings.
And I'm Kayla Connick. Welcome to Forget Dis, taking the dis out of disabilities.
We are music therapists from Dynamic Music Therapy in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast highlights people who live with unique challenges that they have transformed. We will meet people from different walks of life, discuss how music therapy can help in specific ways, and present how to and how not to talk to people with disabilities.
We're here to talk today about just a review of everything that we've learned, just kind of reflections on the whole podcast. Because I can't believe it's already been how many months?
Oh goodness, I don't even know. When did we start?
Oh man, this is a fun little side story. We thought this morning, so things just keep randomly disappearing in our house.
Yeah.
So my mom and I were like, you know, grandma always said there was a ghost in the house, and we were freaking out this morning because the things that are going missing are really large and like hard to miss. So we're missing a pan, like this particular frying pan that's used for, as like a grease splatter shield. It's gone. Cannot find it. It's been gone for a couple months. And then this morning she was looking for this giant glass water bottle that she uses every day, and she's like, I just had it. So we were like tearing everything apart. And of course it was in a really obvious place. But it doesn't account for the other stuff that's gone missing. So this little ghost or goblin, whatever it is, keeps hiding like really large objects in our house and we can't find them. They just disappear.
That is one rude ghost.
Yeah, it's pretty mean.
November 3rd.
November 3rd. Ooh, early November. Okay. So.
7 months.
7 months.
Eight.
8 months. We can count. Yeah. Yeah. See, we do numbers. 8 months. We've talked to so many different people, too. In fact, we were just kind of recollecting on who we've talked to, what we've talked about. And it's amazing. Yeah. I think just the diversity alone in our guests.
Yeah. Cause we've had autism.
Yeah.
And vision impairment, someone who works with people with hearing impairments, mother of cerebral palsy,
chronic pain conditions, people who employ
That's right.
or want to employ people with disabilities or are providing job training.
That's right.
With people with disabilities. So we've really, I think as it's gone on, we've kind of branched out in our own minds too. We're thinking like, well, okay, yeah, we can interview not just people with different abilities, but people who are associated with people, closely associated with people with disabilities.
Right.
And want to provide them opportunities too.
So there's been this huge diversity, like you say, of things, but there's been so many common themes that have come along.
Yeah, I think we actually, somebody mentions it in each episode, like, hey, remember when we were saying the same thing this last episode? And I think I say that every episode.
Right? It happens so often.
So I think one of those themes is probably the way we communicate with people with different abilities is that they just want to be talked to like they're anyone else. I think that's one of the major themes that I've noticed that's emerged in almost every episode. Doesn't matter who or what age or...
But that's a question that we want to ask everybody is, you know, how do we approach? And they all kind of look at you like...
What do you mean?
What do you mean? You just talk to me like a person.
Yeah. Know? And I think we've actually, though, done a good job at defining what that means.
Right.
Because, again, that's kind of like if you're not used to communicating with people with disabilities or whatever, or it's kind of a shock to some people, then it's like, well, what does that mean? In these conversations, we've done a good job of outlining that. And people give like these examples from real life experiences, from things they've witnessed, on what does it mean to talk to somebody like they're a person, right? So that's definitely one of the major themes. Another one, what would you say?
Oh, it's just wanting opportunities.
Yes.
Wanting to be given the opportunity for employment, wanting to be given the opportunity to get the education that they need, having the same equal opportunity as the abled.
Yeah. Equal opportunity. I think that's the key word there is opportunity. It's not so much like, don't think of it like as a handout. Like, oh, they just want handouts. It's like, no, they want the opportunity to work for what they want, like everybody else.
Right.
Right. I think some people get confused with that notion as well. But listen, like, they just want the opportunity to work as hard as you do.
Yes.
Right? I mean, and they can. I think that's another thing we've learned, too. It's like, they do work hard. They, especially when they love something, as Taylor mentioned in a couple episodes ago, she was saying, like, if somebody's passionate about something, regardless of their ability or disability, whatever, they're going to work really hard for it.
Something that came up for me in talking with Taylor mm-hmm. was thinking about my husband. So he's vision impaired, as uh-huh. we've mentioned before. We heard from him in one of the earlier episodes. And I had a conversation with someone close to me about the idea of employing those with different abilities, and specifically John. And we were talking about how frustrating it was for him to find work in his field. He is a graduate of the Cordon Bleu, so he's culinary trained. Mm-hmm. But that's a really difficult field in by itself to get employment. And then because of the stigmatism against blind people, it's right. near impossible to get a job in a kitchen with a vision impairment. And so he was looking and looking and looking and looking and looking for a long time, and it got very discouraging. And this conversation that I had with this person was, well, you know, you just get a job, just get any job until you have that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, if my husband, for example, he would go out and get the whatever, he'd be a Walmart greeter, and just until he could get the job in his field.
Yeah.
And the difference is that then John would be relegated to be stuck there, because he would yeah. never be able to have the opportunities until we change our perceptions of people with different abilities.
Right. It's that damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing going right. on. I mean, and we've mentioned that not only in that regard, but in the, say you're in an interview and maybe your disability is not evident right away. It's mm-hmm. like, do you mention that you have a disability or do you not? Like, and so yes. that's come up a couple times too.
It has. Because from an HR standpoint, they cannot talk about it.
Exactly. It'll yeah.
bring it up. And so there's kind of this big gray thing.
Yeah. That would be interesting to dive more into that.
It really would.
I don't think we touched on that enough.
No, I don't think so.
But yeah, if anybody is listening to that and has some insight on that, we would love to hear. Because I don't think if I put myself in that position, I wouldn't know what to do. Exactly.
Yes.
And I guess it depends on the particulars of your situation, but yeah, what do you do? I would say another thing that was really, really apparent in every episode was, oh, I had it. And then it disappeared. Like all the stuff in my house. What's happening? Am I sleepwalking? Maybe I'm sleep. I always wondered that. It's like,
are you the one hiding it?
Yeah, am I the ghost? Am I the one who's just... Because I have been known to sleepwalk before. Very rarely, but people have told me that, like, you talk sometimes in your sleep. And then, like, one time I'd stood up when I fell asleep on the couch, walked into the kitchen, and grabbed a rubber glove, like, from underneath the sink, and I just held it up with my eyes closed. And then they were like, hey, put that back. And then I did, and then I went to bed. And that was my sleep. Nothing crazy. I've heard some crazy sleepwalking stories.
I don't know. That sounds kind of crazy.
I've heard worse, better. I don't know what the word is to describe.
I'm sure it can be pretty entertaining.
Yeah. I guess we need to listen to our own podcast a little bit more.
Maybe a little bit more.
You know what? Here's something I learned, as how much I don't like my voice. Sorry, everybody, for enduring and listening to my voice. And the way that I laugh at my own jokes. Sorry.
Yeah, that was something I wanted to mention was just thank you to our listeners
yes.
for being supportive of the things. Because we really feel like this is important information. And neither of us knew very much about podcasting at all when we got into it. So it's been a learning curve for us. Mm-hmm. And thank you for your patience in that regard. And the sound quality as well as just the way we output the content. Things that we're still learning.
Yeah, it's been a fun little ride, though. It's hard work. I mean, I don't know if people realize how much work goes into it. But yeah, we're trying to get better every time we put out a new episode. So again, yeah, thank you for your patience and listening. I noticed we have more listeners that aren't just our inner circle.
Right.
Which is great. What a great feeling to see those numbers. And yeah.
It is. You know, when they give you these, the Podomatic where we upload these, they give you these numbers of how many uploads you get. And I wish we had more access to more information. Actually, maybe I do. I should go look.
Who are you people?
Who are they? Where'd you come from? Are they people with different abilities that are listening? Are they families? Are they employers? Who's listening? I'd love to know.
Right. Which brings us to our next point is we want to hear more from the people that listen to the podcast. So on Patreon, we set up tiers now. And if you want to be involved in the discussion, please reach out. Drop comments.
It's like $1 a month to be open to all the
chat. Seriously. Come on. we do want to hear from our
listeners.
That's
like a quarter of your coffee one day.
Yeah, a quarter. Not even that.
I was thinking, you hear something like, oh, they have Down syndrome. They're always so happy. And while that is actually often true, I know many people with Down syndrome that are often
very happy
in a positive mood. They have different moods, of course, just like all of us. But it makes me think, just because people have a disability doesn't automatically make them someone special or amazing or awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get to that status ourselves with the things that we do.
Yeah.
I think that was something that Raina had talked to me before the interview.
Oh, yeah.
At about how that was something that was kind of frustrating to her is, oh, God bless your daughter.
And I know. I think pull the reins in on that a little bit. I've noticed that kind of becoming, it seems like an overcompensation to me. And it's kind of a cultural thing now with, I think, social media and inspirational videos. And even, I think we've reached out to a couple people we wanted to interview who were like, nothing inspirational. This isn't inspirational.
Right.
And we're like, oh, no. We just want to talk. But that would be very frustrating. It's like, and I've heard that a couple times too, that when not to say, or something not to say to somebody with a disability is, wow, you're so, God bless you, or you're God's gift, and just nuances and cliches that. It can be very frustrating. So,
right,
you can't. And then I think, okay, put yourself in their shoes. Would you want some stranger coming up to you and just saying wow, you're so inspiring, and then rubbing your shoulder or something like that, or touching you?
Why?
I think that's
something
else too. What did I do? I'm just sitting here trying to enjoy my day, you know. So
it's my favorite moment of the entire everything was Brett talking about when people came up, oh yeah, my mom's blind. Great.
Cool.
You want a cookie?
Yeah.
It's my favorite moment.
And again, I think the intentions are good. Yeah, but it's okay, what does that have to do with me right now? You don't even know me, you know?
You know, and it's been interesting, this whole process, because obviously we're passionate about this topic. Otherwise, we wouldn't have started the podcast in the first place. Obviously, we felt like we had something to contribute or wouldn't have started it. But we have actually found ourselves learning quite a lot and shifting the way we talk, the way we think, even.
Yeah, I think it's actually really benefited my practice as a music therapist in the way I interact with clients and parents and everybody. I think I would like to think that it's made me just a nicer stranger too, just when I'm out and about, the grocery store and in places that are just kind of routine, and I'm there, I have to be there. But I think it's helped just how I interact with everybody in general. But no, it's been really, really important. And I can attribute, a lot of it to exactly stuff that I phrases and things that I remember in interviews, I'm like, wait, I remember what that person said, and it's totally applicable right now. So I think it's benefited both of us in so many ways.
Certainly.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for me is thinking about the word disability.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the whole idea, forget this. Obviously, we wanted to kind of move away from that stigmatism that's along with that word. The more we talk to people about it, the less I like the word, because it's all about disability. It's all about, oh, well, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it's hard because you can't just remove the word from your vocabulary, because then people don't know what you're talking about.
And another thing too, that this was it. This was the point that I'd forgotten about, that was like right in front of my face. Yes. Is language. Man, we've really dived into language a lot and how it's probably best to remain neutral at first, like when you don't know somebody. So for example, as a businesswoman, using the term differently abled is probably better than disability, say on your business cards when you're promoting yourself and services, and saying person with autism. But then we talk to more people and they say, I really don't like the political correctness either. It seems like people are trying to tiptoe around it. And it's like, that's inhibiting communication too. Mm-hmm. And the other main theme is like, we want more communication, right? And you just talk and say, I think this was Brett as well, saying, it's okay. Like, people get really freaked out about using any word related to sight or vision around him, and then they start apologizing. And so, and he's like, no, it's fine. What? He's like, I am blind. Yes. Like, that's okay, you know? And so it's, and I understand that too, because it's coming from like a, I can't, you know, hurt your feelings. Or it's like, it being blind is seen as bad, right?
Right.
Because that's really what that is. It's like, oh, dang it. You know, like, I associated his blindness with sight, and that's a bad thing because he's lacking his sight. So it's like, I get that, why that is frustrating too for some people, being too politically correct or trying to, you know, panic and rephrase and apologize for your choice of words. No, don't be inflammatory. I mean, that's common sense, you know?
No, yeah, and it definitely makes sense. Language is important.
Yeah.
And the more you pre-think about it, the better it will come out.
Yeah, practice makes perfect.
Yes.
Especially in this case, yeah, just the way you phrase things, what words you decide to use, in what context, it's everything, so...
But don't let your fear of saying the wrong thing keep you from talking.
Yeah, I think that's the major thing.
Right.
Yeah, don't let it stop your communication with somebody. Because that was another thing, too. It's like they were saying, oh, I think people are just afraid. They're afraid to talk to people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. I think because of their own insecurities with maybe using these words or different or language that they don't know how to use. In fact, that was a statistic I looked up. Early on, I think before we started this podcast, was, and this was done in the UK, but an alarming percentage of people are afraid to talk to somebody with a disability. So they'll just avoid them completely, you know, won't say hi, won't make eye contact, stuff like that. So I think that's where the work needs to be done, is practice communicating, even if it's scary. I know it may be, I'm not saying it's not, it, scary for somebody who's not used to it, but to start, you know, stretching your comfort zone and going outside of it, and that's how we grow, is just doing things that we're afraid of doing anyway, but doing them regardless.
Well, and you know, we've come up with a couple of ideas for future episodes just in talking and having this conversation. Mm-hmm. Specifically the idea of interviews, someone with a disability, and whether or not you disclose. Mm-hmm. That could be a really interesting topic. Something also was thinking about political correctness, like with the R word. We could have someone talk about...
I would really like to go the R word into that territory, yeah. Because that's, pretty hot, hot topic.
Right. And again, we want to hear from you. Tell us what you want to hear about. Tell us what you want to tell us about. Mm-hmm. Because we'd love to have you and on our show and talk to us about things that you are passionate about in relationship to these topics.
Yeah, we've been doing this for 8 months, but we have a lot more to do and a lot more to talk about, a lot more people to talk to and hear from. Right. So again, thank you everybody so much for listening, for supporting this podcast. And we hope to continue more of this work.
Yeah. Forget this. See you later.
See ya.